when you're picturing singing to the Lord. What was it Jesus, what did he look like in your mind's eye? Was he the Jesus of Calvary? Was he the Jesus standing on a mountainside speaking to the people? Was he the Jesus on the beach preparing fish for the apostles who were out fishing? Was he the Jesus riding on the great white steed with King of Kings and Lord of Lords across him? What did Jesus look like to you? Did he look like the person sitting next to you? Because after all, aren't we all to be the image of Christ? Did any of you think of that? Or is that like a, uh-oh, I hope my neighbor's blind? I am always aware that the praise of God has been going on since the time we went to sleep last night. It's been rolling around the world, and right now is our turn to give praise and glory and honor unto God. Scriptures tell us that God is worshiped constantly in heaven. That there are those who just bow before him. They love and adore him, and they're amazed at the amount of grace and love that he shows to earth, to humanity. To so many people, he is holding back his wrath and his anger because they thumb their noses at him. They say, I'm going to live my own standard. I'm going to live life the way I want to and not according to God's word. And God just looks at him and shakes his head and says, really? You're going to deny me, your creator? You're going to deny praise and worship and honor with your life to me? What a silly game you're playing. And it's one that has eternal consequences. It's not just a game about this life. It is a game that goes on for eternity. It affects where you will spend eternity, what you believe about Jesus, what you believe about the gift that God gave to us. Oh, yes, he died on a cross. We all recognize that. But what put him on that cross was the sins of you and the sins of me. So do we want to make Jesus' burden larger or lighter? It all depends upon how we live our life. You see, because the title of today's message, it's about him. It's all about Jesus. And that's who we are to be living for. That's who we are to be emulating, that's who we are to be like, is Jesus. Now, I understand each and every one of us have a personality. Some of them are larger than others. But we all have a personality. We're uniquely gifted and put together. And God has given us all separate talents and abilities. And those are all fine, but nothing shines brighter than the presence of Jesus. If your gifts and your abilities outshine the presence of Jesus, then he's not really in the prominent place that he should be. Our life, everything that we do, everything that we should be about, is about exalting the name of Jesus. It is about him. But is it really? Or is it about me getting what I feel like I need? Is it me going after those things that I have in my mind's eye that will make me the person that I want to be versus the person that God wants me to be? We're going to look at the person that God wants us to be today. Because honestly, it's all about him. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, Paul writes to the Ephesians church these very words that should just ring true in our life. Read this together with me, if you will. Imitate God in everything that you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loves us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. You know what I like about that? Imitate God in everything you do because you are his dear children. I like that. That I can be a child. When my wife tries to tell me to grow up, I say, but honey, Scripture says I'm a child. And she goes, well, as a child, would you please mature then? I said, but God asked me to be a child. To be a child of God means to be under his direction, that he's in power, that he is watching over me, that he's the one that tells me what I'm to do, where I'm to do it, and when I'm to do it. But children have their own minds, right? And that's good. As long as those minds are trained with the Word of God. You see, we've got to stow away the truth of God into our minds. Why? So that we can imitate God in everything that we do. How can I be something that I have absolutely no clue what it means to be that? So I have to study the Word of God so that I know who God is, what he requires of me. Makes sense, doesn't it? So this past week, we started off with this one cry, Bible study and prayer time. We enter into week 2 today. Are you hoping for a move of the Spirit of God in our country? But first and foremost, right here. You see, because every revival that will sweep across any area of land, any demographic of our country, has first got to begin right here. Guys, are those air conditioners on? Because it's really warm. I don't know. What are the temperatures set on? Because I want to be fanning myself even. Okay. That's it. There you go. Living at large with the Lord. I want to see. I mean, I really want and desire with every fiber of my being to see a spiritual awakening happen in America. And so if I truly believe that, if I'm truly all about that, then my actions have got to mirror up to that which I desire to have happen. Which means I've got to be a part of helping usher in the presence of God. I've got to be praying for and interceding for the spiritual awakening of our country. I can't rely on my neighbor to do it. I don't really know what their praying habits are like. But I do know how my habits are. Do you so desire to see this country, your neighborhood, your own household, awakened with the Spirit of God? When you want it that much and you cry out for it, then guess what? You are praying the will of God, and He will hear your prayers, and He will answer them. Because you see, God desires for His Spirit to be awakened in our country. But first, He's got to start with you. If it ain't true here, it ain't going to happen out here. Your life has got to be all about Him and His plans, His desire. There's a lot of things that vie for our attention, aren't there? I mean, there are a lot of good causes. There are a lot of bad causes that we can give the energy of our life and or the time of our life to. And when we do those things, I'm having the time of my life, right? But are you really? You see, because the time of your life should be a time spent for forwarding God's kingdom to those around you. I loved in our mentors group how in the book it asks this very simple question. When people get together with you, when they have time with you, do they go away desiring fame, fortune, worldly possessions, sexual fulfillments? Or do they go away saying, I want the Jesus that person has? What is your life really about? Is it all about Him? Or isn't it? Oh, we all have these wonderments that we want to have in life. Oh, man. I just want to delight myself in the things around me. Well, that's fine if God gives them to you, but keep them in right context, because otherwise they become idols. And you know how God feels about idols? I think He kind of threw out some commands about that, didn't He? Thou shalt not have any graven images, any idols before Me. Why? Because I am a jealous God. I mean, that reveals God's heart. He wants all of you. Not just a Sunday morning hour. He wants all of you. And if you will give all of yourself to Him, not just bits and pieces and portions. I mean, how many of you would like to go into a relationship with someone who said, do you love me? Oh, yeah, I love you. Then Will you give yourself entirely to me? Well, wow, that's asking a lot. What do you mean? That's asking a lot. You want all of me? Yeah. I don't know. There's some parts about me that I don't think you really want. And besides that, hey, I want my alone time. After all, this is my life. Do, 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 do. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. And that's what they'll do. You see, when we stand before a crowd of witnesses and we declare to one another, hey, I am going to love you forever. It's not happening in America anymore. 50% of people who stand up and declare, I am going to love you no matter if it's good, no matter if it's bad, no matter if it's rich, no matter if it's poor. Whether we are in health or whether we're sick. You got me, babe. I got you, babe. Wow. Sorry about that. But that's the kind of relationship that we all truly desire. We want somebody to just be all about us, meeting all of our needs. And honestly, can people do that? No. People can't do that. It's a sad fact. Only Jesus can satisfy you. Only Jesus can satisfy your longings, your desires. And guess what? Jesus ain't just about this life right now. He's about eternity. Imitate God in everything you do. How do I do that? Well, first, and this is your first fill-in, first you have to establish a sure foundation. You have to establish a sure foundation. So what's the foundation that we must have so that we can imitate God, so that we can be all about Him? Well, first and foremost, you got to have a sure foundation. How many of us would want to build something that we think is going to last on shaky ground? Doesn't sound like a very smart building program, does it? Instead, what do? You get down to bedrock, right? To that which you know is not going to be shaken unless you live in Chile. An 8.4 earthquake this week. We still don't know how many lives have been lost. But the only sure foundation that we can have as children of God is, I'm sorry, a little louder with some enthusiasm. Jesus. A little louder with some enthusiasm. That's the answer. Not only for you, but for this world. This world needs a sure foundation, and that sure foundation is Jesus. It's not legislators. It's not Congress. It's not judges. It's Jesus. That's the sure foundation. In fact, Jesus even talks about it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Read this with me, please. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. So, what's the foundation? Anyone who listens to my teaching and what? Follows it. You see, I can't just be a listener. Oh, Pastor, that was another great message this week. Fine, show me that through your life. Show me how the Word of God changed your thinking so that you will act in a manner that is pleasing unto God. Not pleasing unto me, pleasing unto God. Are you all in with the relationship? Or you're holding out for a better offer? Well, guess what? A better offer ain't coming. The best offer is heaven. And if you want to be there, then you've got to start building your house right now on a solid foundation. And that solid foundation are the teachings of Christ and following the teachings of Christ. So where can I find the teachings of Christ? They happen to be right here in this book. Any of you read it? It's a bestseller. It has been for a long, long time. You see, we need to be about study. Yeah, I was walking in this morning, and I was praying for the retired people of our church. And to be honest with you, there was this little germ of envy. And you're going, oh, really? You want the aches and pains and the medications and everything I've got to take? That's not what I envy. What I envy is that you've got uninterrupted time to sit down and read God's Word and to meditate on it and to be praying that Word that you have been given onto others and blessing them with the knowledge that you have been given. Don't think that because you're older, that you're out of the loop. You're not. Now's when the prayer warrior begins. When all of that knowledge that you have been given throughout all the years starts bubbling up, and you start seeing the different people in the church, and you start praying the truths of God's Word over them that you have experienced, that you know. You see them struggling in areas of their life. And you go, oh, Lord God, that truth that you have given me, that they would be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, that they would no longer give in to the desires of their flesh, but instead they would rise up as spiritual children that you desire them to be. What do you talk about when you get together with others? What's the first thing on your mind? Now, true, everybody's not going to be as excited about Jesus as you are. Amen? However, do you work Jesus into your conversation? Do you try to find some kind of a note, something within their life that you go, you know, I don't have the answer to what you're struggling with or what you're dealing with. However, I have a God who knows you and who loves you and is desirous to come alongside and strengthen you, encourage you. But you know what you got to do? You got to listen to his teaching. You got to follow his ways, because otherwise you're going to be like the unblessed child that is only going to get the spankings and the tribulation. Now, that doesn't mean that just because I'm a Christian that I don't have tribulations. Come on, give me an amen on that one. Amen. Right? We all go through trials and tribulations, but I don't go through them alone. I go through them. They are brought to me by God to test my faith, not in myself, not in my strength, but in the truth of God's Word. And I stand on his Word, even though by sight I can't see it happening. But by faith, I will grab onto that thing And I will say, God will see me through because he has said so. My children's names will be written on the Lamb's Book of Life because I, his child, have prayed for it. Years I've been praying for it, and it will happen. Not because I will it, but because God wills it. Oh, when my faith becomes sight. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. But until then, I'm going to walk in the truth of God's word. I'm going to stand on his promises. I'm going to build my foundation on his teaching, and I'm going to follow it. What about you? Will you walk with me? Will you proceed to a heavenly dwelling? Wouldn't you like to be my neighbor? Well, no, actually, I'd like the place about 5 miles away. Number one, you got to establish a sure foundation. Number two, you got to build your house with Spirit-led prayer. You got to build your house with Spirit-led prayer. Why Spirit-led prayer? Come on. You know as well as I do that sometimes we can just throw out words to God and we hope that he catches them, but our heart and our mind really aren't behind those words. Right? Sometimes we just throw up empty prayers to God. They aren't really heartfelt. We're not really tapping into what we think God would want to do in that situation. Instead, we point fingers at all the things that are keeping us away from what God could do. Well, I just don't have enough money. I don't have enough influence. I don't have the right car. I don't dress the right way. I don't speak right. And we come up with all sorts of excuses as to why we won't live completely for God. Oh, if you all just knew all the problems and troubles and failures that I've had in my life, you would understand. You know what I understand? That Jesus died for all your failures. What do I understand? That Jesus died for all your failures. Do you know that? Do you believe it? Or are you going to let those failures be brought up to you time and time again? Well, you can't possibly do anything for God. I mean, after all, you know, look at the kind of life you have lived. That's right. I used to live that way. Now, in Christ, I'm a new creation. And the old has gone away. Behold, the new is here, and I'm grabbing onto it. Have I totally arrived there yet? No. But what do I do? I strain forward toward that which is ahead. Not looking back. You see, there's too many of us living life in the rearview mirror instead of what's ahead of us. And we crash. And we crash. And we crash. Get your eyes off the rearview mirror and put your eyes forward on what God wants in your life. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Lot's wife looked in the rearview mirror and she turned into a pillar of salt. So build your house on a sure foundation and with Spirit-led prayer. Ephesians 6, chapter 8, or verse 18 says what? Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And then Mark 11, 17. The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Well, Jesus, where's that temple? Right here. You are the temple of the living God. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if he's not, then you're not a temple of the living God. You're your own temple. So whose temple are you? My temple is all about him. It's all about him. Will you answer that call today? Will you say, okay, God, I've been playing with what you want me to be. But today, I want to be all in. I see that your kingdom is kind of hampered from going forward because I haven't put much effort into it. There are people in my life that I could be affecting with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid. I'm not a great orator. I don't have scripture memorized. Don't play the excuse game. Play the God game instead. Where you stand on these words. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lastly, about building your home, consider yourself a living and holy sacrifice. Consider yourself a living and holy sacrifice. What? I thought all this was about me living. And me living at large for the Lord. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes living at large for the Lord means you have to die to yourself. In fact, it always means dying to yourself. Dying to what you think, what your values are, what your accepted behaviors are, because, well, everybody else is just doing this, you know. So I got my fingers caught in the cookie jar. So what? I'm just like the other people around me. Well, you're not supposed to be unless they're all trying to be an example of Christ like you are. Now look at that neighbor. Are they looking a little more Christ-like to you now? Not that it's our place to judge. Because praise God, we're going to stand before a righteous, holy judge someday. And his judgments are going to be true. It's not what people say about me. What matters most is what God thinks and says about me. People's opinions. Guess what? Shirley and I were having this conversation earlier this week. And I said, you know, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has one or two of them, and some of them stink. Some of them are good, though. Some of those opinions are good for as long as they are for correction in the Word of God. Pastor, my opinion is that you haven't been a good example of Jesus Christ to me, okay? Show me how. Well, you see, God's Word says. And I stand there, and though I'm chastised by the Word of God, I have a choice, just like you do. We can either accept that word that is spoken over us, that we know comes from a reliable source, it is not just somebody's opinion, Or we can reject it and say, you know, maybe when I'm a little bit older, when you know, I'm getting closer to my deathbed, then I'll give God all my life. And he'll go, great, thanks for giving me the scraps. What am I going to do with those? How many people are you going to influence on a deathbed? Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. And I don't want you to just read this, but I want you to hear Paul's heart as he wrote down these words to the church in Rome. Hear the message in it. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Does that sound like a God of legalism? Or a God who is lovingly reaching out to you and saying, what I want from you is not a legalistic mindset. Instead, I want you to love me. I'm inviting you into the greatest love relationship that you will ever experience in your lifetime. And not just your lifetime. Forever. I'm inviting you to take hold of my kingdom, my heart, my agendas. You remember when you really, really, really wanted something? How you would try to please your parents since they were the ones that could get you those things? And you would try with all your might, with everything within your instincts. Ooh, I know that mom likes it when I sweep the sidewalk and when I clean the dishes or even dry them. I know dad really loves me when I go out and mow the yard without having to be told to. I just see that the grass is growing. You know, he sees that the grass is growing. I can see that the grass is growing just as well. Man, and I really want that bike. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to mow that yard without being told. I'm going to take out the garbage. You did those things as a child to do what? To get things that were of this world. What are you doing to capture the heart of God? He's got greater gifts. And they last. My bike got flat tires. It threw chains every once in a while. The seat got a hole in it. God's gifts are eternal. Are you working for the eternal or are you just about the temporary? Here's another quote from our mentor's training book. What we do is a direct result of what we are, which is determined by our values, which determines our character, and our character determines our behavior. So what are you? That's the big question today. What are you? I'd like to sing along with you. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. It's a dangerous proposition. But it's one that God is wanting you to make today. Will you stop playing church and get real and let your life truly be all about Him? The decision's yours. Loving Heavenly Father, release the power of your Spirit right now. You know exactly who's in this room and the attitudes and the thinking that they're hiding behind. Lord, get real with them today. For none of us have a guarantee that after this meeting that we're going to have another 5 years, 10 years, 5 weeks, 10 weeks. Lord Jesus, you could come back tomorrow. And how will we be able to stand before you and say how we've spent our life? Has it just been all about us? Or is it about you and your kingdom? I know, like Joshua, I want to be able to stand before you and say, as for me and my house, I serve the Lord. What's your house like? Is it built on the bedrock of Jesus Christ? Or is it on the sinking sands of the values of this world? I'm going to ask you, if you have made a decision that you want change in your life this morning, that you want to declare, you know what, yes, Lord, I have been not all in with you. I've been that lover that has cheated on you. I've had other loves in my life. But this morning, you want it to be all about Jesus. He's your number one lover. He's the one whose heart you really want to capture. Then I'm going to ask you, and don't do it because somebody else is going to do it around you, but do it because you truly want to serve God. I'm going to ask you to stand up, come forward. And most of us, when we come up here, we usually face forward. We don't want to. There's that admitting that I haven't been all about God moment in your life right now. But if you are truthing with God right now, then from this day forward, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, Lord God, whatever these people were about before, that's in the past. They start a new adventure today with you. A venture, Lord God, that they are going to need the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word to be able to walk. And they're going to need the encouragement of their brothers and sisters around them. Not condemnation. But instead, they need to have the knowledge that their fellow brothers and sisters are going to pray for them. So if you're standing up here right now, I'd like you to just turn around and face your brothers and sisters in the Lord. These are your brothers and sisters that have said today, September 20th, 2015, I've drawn a line in the sand. I'm going to follow God.